So it's we do this once a year to just, and I think it's, you know, biblical in that God, I mean, God set aside holidays for people, right? Because he said he wanted people to pause, to take a moment to look back at all that God had done. Of course, yeah, he created, you know, the Sabbaths and things like that, right? The celebrations that they did. So I just feel that it's important for us to just take a moment each year to just pause. And because I think even in me preparing this, I'm like, oh yeah, that happened this year and that happened this year. I think we sometimes don't even realize all that God accomplished in a year. So we always take this time once a year to just kind of look at where are we at, what all things God did, and just to rejoice in that. And then take a moment too to look forward into what God has for us in the coming year. In the past couple of years, like the Vision Sunday has kind of synchronized with the end of our fasting, but we're a few days early today. But it's been, you know, for those of you who have been fasting, some people have shared some things with me about a testimony about what God has done during the fast. And if you want to at any point, please feel free during our testimony time to share what the fast has meant to you during this time, because fasting is really powerful. So I just like to take time in the beginning of this as well to just reflect on what God has done and just reminding us of what the vision is for this church and the mission of the church. So if we can go to the next slide, right? The vision is that the world may know that God sent Jesus Christ, his son. That's what we're here for. It's really simple, right? That this is what we're here for. So it's so important for us to understand that yes, we come together on Sundays and spend a few hours together, but really it's what we do outside of these few hours that is so crucial for because it's what God called us. He didn't just call us to come together on Sundays. He called us to be out in the world the other 6 3/4 days of the year. So that's our vision, right? And then our mission to accomplish that is that we believe we owe the world an encounter with God. We will create and sustain a church culture that honors God, his word, his spirit, and his people. We will equip the saints to know him deeply, fulfill their purpose in him, demonstrate the reality of the kingdom of God to the world, and live to reveal him. And so again, it's all about how we live out within our church community, but also outside our church community to impact people. That is really crucial for what God has called us all to. Amen. And then just our core values, the presence of God is right. With the presence isn't here, then we might as well just go home, right? I mean, we carry the presence with us, so if we're here, the presence is here. But it's honoring that presence, experiencing that presence, okay? And it doesn't just mean when we come together as a church, but individually as well. Prayer is crucial in our lives, our own personal relationship with God as prayer, but even corporately as we come together to pray. And then transformation, and part of transformation happens as we come together and do things together, because iron sharpens iron. That's why I always say that, you know, people say I do online church. Well, online church is really easy because you don't have any people to collide with, but it's as we work together that iron sharpens iron and we grow. But it's transformation from the word, it's transformation from our personal time with the Lord. It's transformation as we come together and study the word together, because different people have different insights and revelations that can open our eyes up. That's why I love like small groups, because this person will say something that will spark something in this person that will spark something in this person. It's just beautiful to watch the Holy Spirit work. So there's really a beauty as we come together and we can share what God's done in our lives. And then of course, evangelism, that we're called to be outside the church reaching the lost. And not only the lost, but also those who are the one who left the 99, right? The sheep that have gone astray, we're called to them as well. And then just the culture that that's important to us here in this church is, of course, a kingdom culture. That I'm going to go down the left side first, the presence-centered, that the gifts of the Spirit operate. That's something that I feel like we need to grow in more, is really allowing the gifts to operate, because when we come together, right, one should have a word, right, that prophetic words, seeing healings and things like that. So that's a hunger that I really have, is that we see that operating more in our church. That we are the body of Christ, and each person has a significance in the body, part of the body that they are, that the fruit of the Spirit should be evident in our lives, the fivefold ministry that the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, not that we have to have all those offices in this church, but they are operational offices in the church today, and the giftings should be seen operating right throughout the church body. And I can say that with, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit more, but this is what I love about as we move forward into life groups, because this is where people are being empowered, and there has to be a draw on people for us to see what's inside of us. And so really, again, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, it's all about empowering the body of Christ to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And so it's all about equipping. It's always about equipping, because all of us are called to minister the gospel. Amen? All of us are called. That we worship in spirit and truth, right? That we be not just have song services, but we worship in spirit and truth. That we are to expect the miraculous. We have a miraculous God. I'm taking a course right now on renewal theology with Global Awakening, and they're talking about, you know, kind of coming, how to, through scripture, show the cessationist view and how that's not scriptural. The cessationist view believes like everything ended, like there's no giftings. And it just amazes me as I read these books, how much time people invest in trying to prove that God's not powerful today. It just, it amazes me. Like, how can you, like, and these people write books on this and have conferences about this. And I'm just like, he's God. He's God. He rose from the dead. Like, seriously? And you think he doesn't operate today? I just don't understand it. Anyway, it makes my brain hurt. Like, anyway, that we are the family of God, right? And that discipleship is key. Again, another reason, you know, for our life groups. And then, of course, all these things are to operate within the children and youth ministry as well. Because there's no, like Pastor Jeremy say, like there's no junior Holy Spirit, right? It's the same Holy Spirit no matter you're little or big, right? And then just our cultural values, that we, Christ and present-centered, that we protect and value relationships. I think that's important to understand. Like, we can have, it's very important to us in this church that even if we don't agree on something, that the relationship is never on the bargaining table, right? That we can, that we, the relationship stays intact even if we don't agree. We can disagree on things, but the relationship doesn't get compromised because of that. That's important to us. That we walk in love and honor, integrity, transparency. It's very important to us to have a culture where people feel that they can be honest about what's going on in their lives, that we don't put our church faces on. Now, I mean, there's a place to stand in faith and stand all that, but we also need to have people in our lives that we can say, you know what, I'm having a really messy day and I need someone to pray for me, or I need someone to remind me of truth because I'm forgetting what truth is, you know? So it's important that we have a culture that allows people to be transparent. Let's see here, that we, again, being safe, that we all walk in humility, authenticity, open dialogue, that we can talk freely with one another, being teachable, right, and that we're all to be empowered, that we all take personal responsibility for our personal relationship with the Lord, as well as living intentionally. And then that we want to be responding to things, not reacting, right, that we can respond instead of reacting to things, and then have servants' hearts, operate in excellence, and then community-minded, which again is, you know, the life groups are important for that, being community-minded, because we're planted out in the communities, and we'll talk more about that today. So then, too, I just remind you that we are a part of Global Awakening's network. We're also a part of Andrew Womack's Association of Related Ministries International. We're part of that as well. But I would just say that that organization, like Andrew's, is like slowly growing, but for right now, Global just has a lot of resources that we have connected with. Of course, some of their conferences that we have gone to. I was at VOA this year. You know, Jason and Don went to VOA. Joe and Don and Melody went to VOA. Voice of the Apostles this year. And then the global network is the middle. That's what we, as we're a part of that global network, and so we, all these resources are available to us in the middle column because we're a part of that network. And then on the right-hand side, they have the Global School of Supernatural Ministry, College of Ministry, and then they also have master's and doctoral programs. So I know that Giselle just finished a course with them. I'm currently finishing up courses that I'm taking there. And I'm hoping potentially in the fall to start a master's program with them. They have excellent courses as well. And then, of course, the mission trip. So all of these are available through that network. And now, interestingly enough, this week, Greg Moore from Caris Bible College reached out to me. And so he would love to come to our church. He wanted to come. He's like, I'm going to be in town, so can I come March 9th? And March 9th is the day that we aren't going to have church here on March 9th because the whole hotel is rented out. And so but we're having a baby shower in the afternoon. but anyway, so he was disappointed. So, but he wants to come. So we'll look at potentially bringing him back again, maybe in the later of the year. But he was really excited because he has been here once before. He was back here several years ago, and he was excited to hear about what we're doing here in the church. So anyway, so I say that to say that we're connected with Caris and we're connected with Global Awakening. Okay, so so the next slide, this is something I need to do for insurance standpoints. Once a year, I need to go over this with you. So we have a sexual harassment policy. Don't sexually harass anybody. Okay? We do have a policy in place, and if sexual harassment can be verbal, it can be physical, it can be emotional, right? But we don't tolerate that. And if you feel at any point like you've been sexually harassed or are being sexually harassed, come and speak to me or one of the leaders in the church, and we will, in a godly way, address it. Okay? Okay. So child safety. We take child safety very important here at this church. You know, people have to be here for so long before they can even volunteer. They have to be members. They have to go through child safety training, a background check, all those things before anyone can serve in, and then also in children's church. It's just really important to us. You know, whenever we have children in the sanctuary doing a program, we do not live stream, or we'll put the camera away. We never show pictures of our children. We never take pictures of our children to put on Facebook or anything like that. I mean, we can do it here in a closed presentation like this, but we would never live stream that. Just a couple of things to remember. We have four beautiful babies that are in the womb right now. And when babies are born, like, it's not appropriate for a little infant for you to go over and start touching their face and kissing them and all that, okay? You need to respect the parents, and the parents, if you're not biologically related to the child, please don't kiss them, okay? And just be aware that, you know, of hugs and things like that, like, just be appropriate with children. Don't give, if you feel inspired to give a gift to a child, that's wonderful, give it to the parent, okay? And the parent can give it to the child. So just, again, we want to protect our children. And then lastly, just no solicitation. And what that means is if you found out that there was a need in the church, don't on your own start doing a collection for that need or to bless somebody. Because as a church, we can't ensure that, not that I don't trust you, but as we grow as a church, someone could say, oh, I'm taking a collection up for this person or that person, give money to me and I'll make sure it gets to them. And we don't have a way of making sure that actually happens. So we've just made a policy of no solicitation. If you feel inspired and you find that there's a need, feel free to give directly to that. And we could possibly do something through the church where we can track what comes in and track what goes out. But just on your own, we ask that no one do anything like that. Okay, any questions? Okay, so let's look at 2024, our year in review. So we started out the year with the theme was Your Kingdom Come, or a vision, our calling was Your Kingdom Come, Your Will Be Done on Earth as it is in heaven. And so we launched, we started prayer this year and a bunch of other things. Again, trying to just move forward into what we know God has called us to as a church. So with the teachings that I did this year, or that we had a bunch of teaching. So I finished Ephesians verse by verse. Then I did a long series on the many faces of our first love, just looking at all the different aspects of Jesus and all that he is to us and the different roles he plays with us. And then the Ambassadors for Christ, it was just a three-part series I did, but that was all about presenting to the church basically our life group program that we were launching. And so that was part of that. And then we began Philippians at the end of the year. And then we had other teachings by Pastor Randy, Giselle, Jean, Jeremy, and Spencer, which are all, they're all great teachers as well. And it's very interesting to me that the last thing that Pastor Randy taught was on a Sunday that I wasn't feeling well at the last minute, and so he stepped in for me, but he taught on death. It's really interesting. And the fact that we don't have fear of death and stuff. So it was just interesting that that was his last teaching. And I feel really blessed because I can go back and hear his voice because I miss his voice. And so I'm really blessed to have that recording because I can go back and hear his voice. So anyway, so those were the teachings that we had. And then if I don't know if you remember, but the beginning of last year, we had Forward Financial Group. Sean hosted that class. Again, you're on earth as it is in heaven. We are to know who we are in Christ from Ephesians, know how to walk in that, and then understand how to manage our finances, right, in line with kingdom truth. So and that was a really good class that he hosted for us. And then the next slide, we did four different books in our Foundations for Kingdom Living class. we did four keys. We did all four of those, right? I think we started out with four keys to hearing God's voice. And then Imagination, Activating Introverts, which was Ben Williams, who he has guest speaker. And then Indestructible was the last book we did as well. And again, when we go to our core values, right, this is all about four keys to hearing God's voice. That's about presence, right? Transformation is the power of imagination. Indestructible, right? Evangelism is the evangelism book. So these books that we choose are in line with the vision for the church and the values of the church. Like there's intention behind what we choose to use in during these classes. So then we had guest speakers. We had Ben Williams, of course, who again taught on relational evangelism. And then we had William Wood as well, and he taught on identity and evangelism as well. So we had two guest speakers last year. We had our Brazil mission trip. Woohoo! Yeah. So that was a wonderful time, a powerful time, and we'll talk about it in a little bit later, but you are planning on going back. But it was a great, great experience. And then we had the men's ministry throughout the throughout the year. We have the men were doing character studies. Men and women were doing character studies from the Bible. And then we did the men do first and third Mondays, and the women do second and fourth Mondays. And so then we had the retreat in which they also did character studies, kind of went a little bit deeper into different aspects of being a man of God using the different characters in the Bible. So, I mean, it looks like they just had fun if you look at it. Can you go back? It looks like they just had fun, right? But they actually did study the word at some points in there anyway. Chillaxing. And then, of course, we had the women's retreat as well. And this was the middle one is when we did the vision boards and then people went out picking apples and we had a lot of fun together. But again, doing character studies within the retreat as well. So that was a fun time. And then we had our church picnic. We had beautiful weather for that in last year, gosh. And then we started the Isaiah 61 ministry, and May has been heading that up and really doing an awesome job. So just so you know, behind the scenes, you might not be aware of this, but the team did 12 personal sessions with people. And I'm going to have May come up, and then I guess Janet's going to come up in just a minute to talk about this. But we have a ministry team of 9 people who are a part of this ministry. And of those 9 people, 9 of them have gone through the Connect Up organization. They've gone through what they call the M1 or the level 1 training. Our 9 people have gone through that training. And then 4 people have gone through the additional training of the M2. And then May also started local training sessions for her ministry team of 9 people. And she's done 4 of those so far. And she did 4 of those in 2024. And then this year, she's going to start doing them every month. We're going to have an hour-long training after church on one Sunday a month. But May, do you want to come up and just talk a little bit about the Isaiah 61 ministry? Just because I don't know that it's a powerful ministry. And I would just encourage you, if there's any places, if you want a deeper relationship with the Lord, Isaiah 61 can help you in that. So let me just talk.
Hey, everybody. It has really been a blessing to continue training and learning more about how to provide inner healing to our members of the church. So this ministry is for members of our church. The main thing is that it's addressing inner healing, like whatever area of your life that you're seeking breakthrough. So for example, some of the issues that I have dealt with, because all of our people that are on this team have also had a training, a personal training session through Isaiah 61 or Connect Up that trains us. So for me personally, as I went through, I've been through a few sessions actually, because sometimes you can't deal with everything all at once. You deal with something on this session, and then maybe a few weeks later or months later or the next year, whatever, you deal with another issue. So for me personally, I dealt with some fear issues, anxiety issues, relationships, inferiority issues, things of that nature. You know, whatever your situation is, it's all confidential, and all of our team members receive training on a regular basis. We're not professional counselors, but we are trained in how to help you to hear the voice of God regarding whatever issues you want breakthrough in. So I just invite all of you to just consider just taking a step of faith and requesting a session. If you want more information, you know, just let me know. And basically, to request a session on our website under ministries, it'll say Isaiah 61. And you just go in there, and it just has a place where you just send me an email and just say, I would like a session, just real simple. Or just come up and just ask me. But I would also like to ask a couple of people that have had a session to just come up and share. So now, Janet, if you would like to come up and share, and then Joe is going to come up after Janet, and they're just going to talk a little bit about what their experience has been with the ministry.
Can I say something real quick?
Sure.
About confidentiality
thing? Sure.
So also, when it comes to the confidentiality, I just want y'all to know that we definitely keep we don't talk amongst ourselves either about anything that goes on in a session. Like, say if you had a session with just me, May, and maybe Melissa, Pastor Melissa, we're the only three that will know anything that went on in that session. Everybody in the group doesn't know. It's only the people that you actually talk to know what happened in that session, and that's where it stays. So I just want you to have that confidence that this is not a gossip thing. We keep it, if we have any notes, we tear them up, we shred them. We don't keep any notes about anything, because we do take notes sometimes just to stay on track of what's happening. But after the session, those notes get tore up. We don't keep them. And again, whatever you talk about stays among whoever it is you're in that session with. We all don't know what goes on with any particular person. So I just wanted to make that clear.
Okay. That's a very, very good point. Because we want to, you know, make sure that you feel comfortable in the session, and, you know, you're free to share. And our goal is for you to hear God's perspective on your issues. We're not giving you advice.
Right.
You're there so that we can help you to hear God's answers and perspectives on your situations, and that's what we are there to help you with. So Jan is going to share a little bit.
It's going to be hard because I like to talk with my hands, so this should be in that thing, but they may not be counselors, but they do bring the counselor into the session big time. When I first signed up for it, I was really scared. I'm like, oh man, they're gonna read my mails. Like, they don't already know everything about me. But so I did it reluctantly. I got my laptop, I got my Kleenex box. We were all ready and set to go. And May just is so amazing. She's just got that voice that just keeps you calm. It's like an anchors you, and you're like, okay, she's got me. She's really good. And I mean, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't even practice what I was going to say. I just sent the Holy Spirit to tell y'all what he wants to tell you. But he brought me to a really broken place in my life. I have a lot of broken places. Probably many of you do. But it was just amazing because they try to focus on Jesus, God, or the Holy Spirit, like where you may have an issue with one of those three and try to go that path. But you can just tell that they're like, they're in their own little meeting with the Holy Spirit, ears open, hearts open, minds open. And they're just like bringing you down the path where the Holy Spirit is leading them to take you. And so a lot of my answers were like, yes, no, you know, how'd it make you feel? Bad. It's like, oh, this is the way this is going to go. And so the question she asked me is just like, okay, now let's hear what the Holy Spirit, ask Holy Spirit what he thinks of you. I'm not kidding. It blew my mind. I have spent years staring at myself in the mirror, telling myself, I am a child of God. He loves me. I am pure. I am righteous. It just never stuck. But when the Holy Spirit showed up, I mean, I got a tiny glimpse of the power that rose Jesus from the grave. And he handed me a crystal scepter. And all of a sudden, they're like, what's he telling you? I'm loved. I am the beloved. I am a child. It's like, I could have kept them there for hours, but I kept my eye on the time, you know, because I didn't want to keep them there all night. Sometimes I wish I would have. I think it would have blessed all of us, but just trying to be respectful. And it was just, it changed me. When the Lord speaks it to you, you're changed. And I don't even have to go back and repeat it. I'm a changed person. Like, all that shame is gone. I really am now a child. And, you know, I know that I know that I know. And then, you know, a song came to my mind during it. And it was, I could remember the tune, but I couldn't remember the words. And I'm really bad at Google. I'm good at MSDN, but not Google. But I actually found the song, and it was a King and Country song, and it was priceless. Dressed in white, everything all made right. I'm like, he just did that. It was just fascinating. And then somebody said, read the Father's, was it the Father's?
Blessing.
Oh my gosh. Right when I thought I was done, like, getting wrecked, they read that, and it just wrecked me again. But it was the most awesome thing I've ever been through. And the trust of who was there, they're just precious. And I just really encourage all of you to go. I didn't even go with an agenda. I just knew because I want healed. I want healed so I can be used more of the Lord. And so I just really encourage you guys to do it. I'm going to do it again.
Exactly. You can have more than one session.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I got keys to do it.
That's right. Sure did.
Even if you walk away and you're just like, well, you know, that didn't happen to me. Because I got, Pete went through it. I'm like, well, just give us some time to bake. And he did. And it changed him, too. You all know Pete the plumber, so.
So she mentioned about her computer, and that's because most of our sessions are done through Zoom. So we have our prayer team and then the guest, the person that's asked for the session. And the reason we're doing them on Zoom is it is a convenience, but also we're having so many meetings after church on Sunday that we really don't have a lot of Sundays in order to do an Isaiah 61 session in person, one-on-one. But on Zoom, it is, you know, it's worked out very, very well. Holy Spirit is everywhere. So, Joe, you want to share your experience?
Don't mind me. I prepared something because I know I'm not going to stay on point too good. So, just really amazing. I mean, to have a perspective of being a minister and then being ministered to at the same time through the process. And I'd been through similar ministry things before Isaiah 61. And it's like truly amazing to see the transformation and the conversations that people have with the Lord, and just amazing healing takes place. So, I mean, I was very eager to take part in Isaiah 61 here at the church. I mean, it's basically, to me, it's like the same exact program I'd witnessed before. It's like real positive, you know? So, I just read what I had prepared. We as Isaiah 61 ministers, we are seeking to guide and teach a simple way to connect Christian believers to God through prayer, to help you experience and know God, to hear God, and to respond to God, thus strengthening your relationship with Him, right? So it's really amazingly basic way this happens. I mean, it's really amazingly basic. That's what makes it so beautiful, you know? It can truly be an amazing experience to encounter God through the help of one of the Isaiah 61 prayer ministers, offering prayers to God by asking some amazingly simple questions. Then sit, remain still, and listen quietly to the response God is speaking to you. And then your response is back to Him, right? So that's the whole ministry, right? And continues on and on and on, right? So I was really quite surprised in the conversation that I had with God instead of a ministry. It was a real conversation, you know? I really went in. I didn't have any agenda, like Janet would say. You sort of had to have a topic to sort of start with that you were hoping to have ministry through. And so I presented one, and I was really quite interested on where he was going to go with that, right? So the talk ended up being very deep and was not a conversation or even a thought process that I'd ever even had before. That's what was so amazing about it. Like, whoa, where did this, I know where it came from, but it was like, I've never had these thoughts in my head ever before in this conversation that I was having in that moment. And it was like, you knew you're right in the throne room talking to God Himself. That's what was utterly amazing, right? So I was blessed to know that God truly knows us intimately and cares very much about not just the big things, but intimately cares about the small things in our lives also. So He is forever drawing us closer to Him in hopes that we will help Him draw others closer to God through prayer and discipleship. As His body, we can follow Jesus together. So I'm a man that dares to believe in the promises of God, and God has a message, and He has placed it inside each one of us to speak to others, right? Amen. And I strongly it.
So as I said, I invite you all to consider having a session. And like I said, if you go on our website, our church website, and just find Isaiah 61, and then just send me an email, it'll be in there, just saying I would like a session, real simple. Or just come up and just ask me, I'll help you. And if you have any questions about it or something that you're, need an answer to get you to understand more of what we're doing, don't hesitate to ask me. Thank you.
Yeah, so just so you understand, so ConnectUp is the organization that has provided us the training, and if you, the name ConnectUp is intentional because the purpose of the sessions is always to strengthen your connection with God. Okay, again, not so much to hear from what the prayer ministers are doing, but they're just there to hold a space for you to connect with God and hear from God. And so so we're not allowed to call it ConnectUp because we're not an official branch. So for here, we call it Isaiah 61. But we are in the process of being certified as a ConnectUp branch by ConnectUp Central. And so at some point, it won't be called Isaiah 61. We'll actually be an official ConnectUp branch. So I've been through this. All of our leadership is required to go through one session a year. It's just we all pick up junk along the way. And so it's just good. And you know, something... The tools that you learn in these sessions are things you can use on your own when you're with the Lord too. So it's supposed to empower you to be able to hear better from God when you're not in this in a session. But too, sometimes we need to humble ourselves and ask for help. So, so it's been good. And then, of course, last year we finished up the Life Group School of Leaders graduates. We had 18 people who completed the 10 weeks of training. And we're going to be opening that back up again this year. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But that's another accomplishment we had last year. Of course, we had our Kingdom Kids who did a great job at Christmas time. And they did character studies this year, and they also led two of our church services. They did a great job at that. And then our youth group, we didn't have very many pictures, unfortunately, of our youth. So those are, and I'm so glad that Logan's not here. he's in Kingdom Kids. I'm like, okay, good, because he'll get mad at me about the picture. But anyway, but the youth group, they did some studies on just kind of finding their purpose in life. Which is really important for them. And then this year, look, we'll be talking about in a minute, they're going to actually become a life group and work toward through the life group material. So we had 15 people join our church last year. So we welcome all Frank and Kaidi, Simeon and Ruth, Mike and Anadina, Brenda, Brooke, Don, Felicia, Jerry, Michael, had to come in because of marriage, Nadia, Natalia, and Wenyan. So... Anyway, so we're just really grateful for all 15 of you, which is for you to join the family. So it's wonderful. And then, so our next slide is just about the baby dedications on Mother's Day of last year. We dedicated these two precious children, Quinn Everly and Josephina Peace. They were dedicated and brought into the family. Now we have four more in the oven. So, but we had the baby that was on Mother's Day of last year. And then look at them, aren't they precious? And then we have we celebrated the life of Jeanette Elkins, and I know Michael wanted to say something. You want to come up, Michael, and just share a little bit?
If it's okay, Jeremy, could I take this and leave it on the stand and put it in front of the podium here?
Yeah, we can just put it right here.
That way I can use both my hands, you know, while I'm talking.
And there
it is.
There you go.
And it's on, right?
Yes.
I talked to Melissa about saying a few words to the church because this wasn't supposed to happen. I wanted to thank everyone at Kingdom Life Ministry. At Kingdom Life Church International for the kindness shown to me and Jeanette from the first time we came here. And I had a little list of some of the things that happened and some of you people who were involved. And if I overlook someone, please forgive me. First of all, the first time Jeanette and I visited here, we went to Panera Bread for lunch afterward, and the first person to come up to us and say hello was Janet. Well, I didn't know who she was, but she had recognized us at church here, and she said, I recognize you from church. But so she was the first person. Secondly, those who showed a special love and concern for Jeanette while she was at church. Amy came over and actually prayed for Jeanette during the service. Giselle, Claudia, Joe, Janet, Randy, and others. Some of you I'm probably overlooking. Melissa even reserved a place for us to sit at church. She had a little reservation sign over there so we could come in and sit at the handicap spot right there. And that's still where I sit right now. Linda gave a blanket to Jeanette, and we always made it a special effort. Give me a moment. We always made it a special effort to have that blanket on her wheelchair. When we came to church, Claudia also visited our house several times for fellowship and prayer and encouragement. Brenda Hicks stayed with Jeanette so that I could attend Randy's funeral. And I didn't ask her to, she volunteered to do that. Melissa was also available for support, prayer, and counseling during this time. And she even offered to bring food to the house, which didn't work out, but we didn't need anything, but still the offer was there. The church sent flowers to Jeanette when she returned from the hospital at one point, and the church also sent several get-well cards. Topi also sent a special get-well card for encouragement. Melissa also facilitated Jeanette's funeral, and Jeremy, Beth, and Brenda attended the funeral. When I was able to come back to church, many people welcomed me back with open arms. I thank you for this. And Natalia was a special encouragement to me after I returned. I wanted to read a scripture to support this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, if you know, then you understand 1 Corinthians was chapter 12 is about spiritual gifts. And it ends up this way, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, we didn't originally have chapter and verse in the Bible, so we're leading into something. I show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Many people know that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the chapter of love in the Bible, but not many people realize that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 was written to show us how to pursue spiritual gifts. I show you a more excellent way. What kind of church do you want to be? Do you want spiritual gifts? I do. We are blessed to be a part of a church that esteems love as the greatest of all gifts. And I rate Kingdom Life Church as an A+ for all of the love and concern that was shown to us. And if we continue to pursue spiritual gifts in love, we have the potential to be everything that a New Testament church should be. And I want to thank you again.
And of course, we also celebrated the passing of Pastor Randy. He's holding up the tree. I would ditto what Michael said. You know, I just, in what we walked through with him, I looked on my calendar this morning before I came here, and it was January 24th that we announced to the church that he was battling. So it was January, and I was like, is it a year? Because January 19th is today, right? But it was January 24th that we had the Zoom call with all of you to let you know what was going on. And were all amazing. You just all jumped on board. We started prayer twice a day, 6 days a week. We did the prayer vigil. You all were just so supportive and so loving of all of us. And, you know, again, I know that we didn't see the victory that we were expecting, but I can assure you, just based on conversations with people who have medical knowledge, that everything they told me was going to happen to Randy in his final days did not happen. And I 1,000% know it's because all of you were praying and he passed in mercy and grace. It was just God's mercy and grace that he passed the way he did. Why he passed, I don't know, because I know it's not God's will for people to have cancer. I know it's not God's will for people to die of cancer. And so that question is a question I'll get answered. Randy already knows the answer. But the bottom line is that I just want you to know that your prayers made a difference. I know that. And that he was able to leave with dignity and pass with grace and mercy. So I just thank you for all of your love and support and how you continue to love and support what God is doing here in this church. And I know he's really proud of all of you too. So, amen. Amen. Okay, so let's just take a few minutes and look at the church financials. We do this once a year as well. And just to let you know, Amy's working on the year-end receipts, and those will be out by the end of January, the year-end receipts that you have. So if we take a look, what we do is, like, if we look at the total income of the church and then just look at where the money came from. So 90% of what the church brought in this year was through tithes and offerings. And so we'll just go across the top. So this is general offerings through here or through Tithely, or people mail things to us as well. So the building fund, so 1% of all the money that came in was designated for the building fund. 1% that came in was designated for guest speakers. So whenever we have a guest speaker here, we always give people an opportunity to sow into that. And so 1% of what we brought in was designated to guest speakers. Let's go to the left here. So Pastor Randy, when he passed, we set up a fund that people could give to the church instead of giving to the American Cancer Association, right? in lieu of flowers, we set up a fund here at the church. And so 2% of what we brought in last year came in designated as an honor of Pastor Randy. So let me go to sales tax reimbursement, 2%. So we are a nonprofit. And so we are not supposed to have to pay taxes when you're a nonprofit. But North Carolina has it set up that what you do is you pay the taxes and then you file with them to get a reimbursement. Okay? Now, if you can imagine, when you buy something for $5 or $3, and then you have to let them know how much tax you paid and what county it was in, and how much of the tax was state sales tax and how much of it was county sales tax. I think they do this on purpose. Okay, so we've known that for the whole existence of the church, and we filed for a number to be able to do the sales tax reimbursement, but it's incredibly cumbersome and incredibly difficult, and we would meet with our accountant multiple times to try to figure out how to do this, even considered paying our accountant to do it, but by the time we paid the accountant for what all he would have to do it, it would have offset any money we got. So finally, you know, we've been working on this, and finally Amy and I talked. I said, let's going to stop this insanity and talk to the board. So what we do is we only track now sales tax that's $20 or more. So if we pay $20 or more on an item in sales tax, which would be a larger item, we track that. And then Amy's able to push some things in Excel and do all this stuff and come up with a number and be able to separate that out. And now we have to pay sales tax to the Sheraton every week. That's 7.25%. So that gets pricey. So, and you're allowed to file for three prior years. Okay. So this year, finally, after much pain, Amy was able to file for the first 6 months of the last 3 years? Because you file for 6 months at a time. So she was able this year in the fall to file to get reimbursement for the sales tax we paid for the prior 3 years, January through June. Okay. In the spring, she'll file for the past 3 years for July through December. Okay, and get that reimbursement. Then we'll be on track to just file every year, okay, to get the money back. So that's a long story to let you know that 2% of the income we got was actually reimbursement for sales tax that we paid out for the first 6 months of the last 3 years. Now, you probably know a lot more than you ever wanted to know, don't you? Okay. See, this is the stuff they don't teach you in Bible college. I'm just telling you. Okay, interest income. So the good news and the bad news is interest rates have gone up. And so I started researching what we could do with the money that we have saved with our church to invest it to start to get income on that. So we have money at Coastal Federal Credit Union, and we have money at First Citizens Bank. And so we took chunks of that money. When I say I'm talking about our board, these all the decisions that the board and I talk about and make, but we took a large chunk of money in Coastal and put it into a CD, and we took a chunk of money at First Citizens and put it into CDs. And so 4% of what we brought in this year was from interest income. And the neat thing about that is we're just talking July to December or August to December. So getting that money into interest rates, because they're paying I think over 5% or something like that. So we're continuing to stay on top of that, but we were careful to set aside, it's only 6 month CDs, so it's not tied up for that long. And then we left money aside because one of the big things is I'm a saver. Okay. And you can tell, Amy can tell you that once I put money into a savings account, you have to ply my fingers back to get it out of a savings account. And so one of the reasons as a church, we've put a lot of money away because when that building shows up, right? When we finally get the address, we want to be able to, and I don't think we're in a position to buy, but even when we lease a building, you have to, unless we move into an existing church that's set up just the way we want, right? But you have chairs to buy, you have sound equipment to buy, you have cameras to buy, you have walls to put up, walls to take down, paint to put up, paint to take off. There's a lot involved. And so what we've been doing is we just put money aside and as much as possible so that when we get the trigger, here's the building, we're in a financial position to be able to make it what we need it to be. Okay, so that's why we save. So I would say that, and just so you know, when money comes in, and again, I typically don't, that's Amy knows, she keeps track of all that, but I don't typically know who's giving what, and I like to stay that way as much as, I mean, sometimes I have to get involved, but as much as possible, I don't want to know that. Not that I think it would sway me, but I don't want it ever to appear that it sways me. But we had a lot of large offerings this year, and so when large offerings come in, we take them and put them in savings, okay? Because what we try to live off as much as possible is just what comes in every single month regularly. Because if we get a large check this month, what we'll do is take that and as much as possible, put that in savings, okay? And then just because when it comes to finding a building, what we need to be able to budget and project is what we know will come in every month regularly, right? So we're grateful for the big offerings. Praise God for the big offerings. And we're also grateful for those that come in every month because that helps us to know how much we can afford. Now you just need to understand that when it comes to buildings, when we look, you're looking at $10,000 to $12,000 a month to lease a building that would house what we are now and where we want to go. It's just very expensive around here. And the issue for us is that we don't want to move any one direction too far, because we know we'll kick some of you out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if we go too far south, it becomes difficult for Virginia. If we move too far west, it becomes difficult for Goldsboro. Too far east, it's difficult for Burlington, right? Too far north, it becomes difficult for Andrew, right? So we're trying to keep it as much as possible in this area, right? But this area is the Research Triangle Park of North Carolina, okay? So it's just expensive. So again, when we look at places, now there was a building that we had found that was going to be reasonable for potentially for us. It was going to take a lot of work to get it okay for us, but the issue is the guy showed it to us and it was great, and we started and gave us what he was going to cost us, which was within our budget, and then like 2 weeks later he sold the building. Okay, so we're in the process of still waiting to hear, like, will the new owners are they going to knock the building down and rebuild? Or what are they going to do? Or would the offer he gave us, like, still stand? So we're in that process right now. But anyway, that's where the money came in. Again, a lot of this is we were blessed with some large offerings as well. And we just, again, put those away in savings. Okay, let's go to the next. The next slide is our expenses. So again, when you take the whole pie of the income the church had this month, where did money go? So 28% went to rent. And our rent went up 9% this year from 24 to 25. So it's expensive to stay here, but we've looked at other places as well. And, you know, we can look at going back to the Durham Public Schools, but that's, you're in a gym, the acoustics are terrible, you're subject to their decisions as to whether or not you can have church on Sunday, and then when something like COVID hits, you just don't have a place to be anymore. So there's a lot of things. We've looked at community centers. A lot of the community centers aren't open on Sunday mornings. Praise God, hopefully the people are at church. So we really, right now, this is just where we're at, and we've looked at other places we could potentially go, but there really isn't anything available. And we're not, and this, please know, this is not, every other church is like this as well. So who doesn't have a church home, or even churches trying to find a church home, are all going through the same thing we are. I talked to other pastors, it's the same exact thing. So 28% of what brought in went to rent. So 8% went to salaries. That will go down this year just because, the way the contract was between Pastor Randy and I with the church, we each had separate employment contracts, which is typical for a church, and we each were getting a small salary. And the way the contracts were written is that if either one of us passed away, the other one would get that person's salary for 1 year, and that's pretty typical. So when he passed away in April, the church continued giving me my salary plus his through December. Now, technically, it could have gone through the end of March, but I did a new contract with the church in December, and I'm in a position now where I can just go back to my salary. So that will go down, okay, for the salary that I get. General administrative expenses is just general, like buying paper and all that. It's emails, it's getting websites, paying for Elvanto, paying for Tithely, paying for the equipment, things like that, general administrative expenses. Church activities at the bottom here, 2%, that's basically like our church picnic, and whenever we have our fellowship things, stuff like that, that's all church activities. Leadership and volunteers is like our background checks that we do, anything that we do, like the gifts we give our volunteers. It's also like our leadership retreat, so that's 8%. Guest speakers, if you remember, we brought in 1% of our income came in through guest speakers, but 5% of our expense was what we paid for the two guest speakers we brought in. Missions and benevolence, this is organizations that we sow into, and benevolence that we would give from the church. It says 7%, and technically it would actually be more than that, only because a portion of what came in this year we took and set aside for the men's and women's retreat scholarship fund. So it really comes out to about 10%, but it was just easiest to show that that way. 2% is children and youth and life groups. So that's like the snacks we buy for them, the gifts we buy for them, the pizza that the youth group gets every Sunday, things that goes into the children and life groups. So 30%, which is cash, current assets, 30% we were able to save. 30% of what we brought in, we were able to put into the savings account. So praise God for that. So again, and that was because we got several very large donations, and when those come in, those go into savings, so that we have that money set aside. So any questions on how we, the money that came in or anything like that? Anybody have any questions? So we're in a very, I mean, we're in a good financial position as a church. We are blessed. And we're just waiting for the address. Okay. So let's go on to 2025. Again, so it's what our vision is. You can go to the next slide too. Thank you. So again, what that the world may know that God sent Jesus Christ his son. That's our vision for 2025. The Lord really, I always seek him at the end of the year, like what is your special thing you want us to focus on for 2020, the next year? And what he just was like, listen, just go back to the vision of the church. This is it, that the world may know that God sent Jesus Christ his son. It's that simple. So, and then of course the mission, which I read before, is the same, right? That we owe the world an encounter with God. And I believe life groups is so powerful for that mission, is life groups is the really key for that. And then of course our core values continue with presence, prayer, transformation, evangelism. Okay, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna, again, a lot of this is just continuing what we're doing. So we're gonna continue, right, our prayer and intercession, because prayer is one of our core values. That's at Sunday nights at 6:30 to 8. We are gonna continue our Monday through Saturday prayer meetings from 6:30 to 7. And you know, there's a handful of us that get on these calls. But if you're up at 6:30, like, it's really a beautiful time. I mean, sometimes there's a lot of silence because we're just all praying in the spirit. But sometimes, I mean, but a lot of times too, like, each one of us will bring a different prayer. And it's just a really beautiful time. And I really believe that the Lord is doing amazing things through these prayers. And one of the things he always gives me a picture of when we start praying is that we are part of a network of people throughout the world who are praying. Like, we can so much think like, oh, just this little five of us. But no, there's people all around the world who are praying, right? As they go to sleep, we're waking up. And it's just carrying this torch, right, throughout the world to be praying. Because we're the bride that's present. And when the bride's not here anymore, the world's going to be in trouble, right? So if you can be a part of that, I encourage you. And then again, we're going to do the weekly corporate fasting on Tuesdays, but instead of having a specific topic, I just really trust you to just press into the Lord. Potentially, like, pray into whatever the message was that Sunday when you're fasting, okay? Maybe press into that message or whatever the Lord puts on for you individually as well as us as a church. Again, the Isaiah 61 ministry, we encourage you to, as we continue that, to avail yourself of that resource. It's really powerful. We're doing the Believer's Authority this year in the Foundations class, and I'm currently looking into a book on prayer because I feel like that's where the Lord wants us to go next. And so after the Believer's Authority, we'll most likely be doing a book on prayer to just strengthen ourselves in our prayer lives. So the women of his presence, men of honor, women of his presence, we're continuing the Bible studies, first and third Mondays for men and second and fourth for women. And we're going ahead and we're going into the book of Proverbs. So we didn't even get through the whole first chapter of Proverbs this past week. So when we met last Monday, so we're going to continue in that. But that's been I think it's going to be a really good study to be in Proverbs. And then the men's retreat. So So what is that? Western North Carolina Retreat Center. Anyway, the retreat center that the men went to last year just didn't work as well for them. And it was difficult getting something for last year. We've been really happy, the women going to the Eagle Eyrie Conference Center. And so the men are going to go there this year, in August of this year. It's worked out very well for us. So that's going to be August 22nd through 24th. At the Eagle Eyrie Conference Center. It's actually a little bit closer as well. And so it'll be $250 for attendance at the retreat. A deposit of $100 is due by the end of March, and then the balance by the end of April for the men to go to the Eagle Eyrie Retreat. And then the women will be back there again as well at the end of September. We're only $225 because they want breakfast served and we just take care of ourselves. So so it's $225 for the women. Again, $100 down the end of April and then the balance due the end of May. So those are scheduled to go. And we have the Global Awakening Brazil mission trip, June 9th through 17th. And so Jason and Don were going to come down and say a few words about that, right? Don said yes. You guys want to come down? Can you come down and just say a few words? Because we're going to have an informational meeting next Sunday. So if you are in any way potentially, possibly interested in coming on this trip, please come to the informational meeting next Sunday. Jason and Don keep threatening me that they're going to move to Brazil.
Oi. Trying to think of what we can remember from Brazilian Portuguese. That means hello. Bom dia. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, that's all I know.
But Jesus.
Okay. Jesus te ama. Jesus loves you. So I know a little bit. And obrigado, thank you. I'll save that for the end. But anyway, looking forward to going to Brazil again. just wanted to really just get you thinking about it, plant seeds of what you can get from going to Brazil and ministering abroad. We're already committed to this ourselves. We've already kind of applied, but applying's easy. You're amongst friends. We can show you the ropes. If you're nervous about it, if you don't know if you should go, the answer is yes. Yes. and so, you know, we've already started planning. You know, we've already started brushing up on our Brazilian Portuguese. I've been, you know, talking to even Jasmine. She's actually taking classes. So when you come back, you actually bring Brazil back with you. Mm-hmm. You bring the experience back with you. And honestly, you just can't look forward to going back. So I just wish everyone could have a chance to go and get this experience. So
for me, I will say that I had a lot of doubts when we went the first time. The devil plants a lot of things in your head because you know you're stepping out with what God wants you to do. Mm-hmm. God laid on my heart 1 John 3:18, and I think that's my verse for this year. And I will just say that the Brazilian people, they show love like you've never seen before. So if you have any doubts, if you just want to experience something that's very special, like the love that these people have for one another is just amazing. I'm not real sure why the people of the United States can't have that. So we want to bring that back here. And it was just, the trip can be overwhelming at times. There might be issues with the flight or not knowing, you know, food that you would like to eat or, even the language barrier at times, but we got really good with Google Translate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Which, it's exhausting at times because you are in the spirit and you are go, 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 go. But it is the most rewarding that we've ever experienced. So the reward definitely outweighs any of the negative that the devil just tries to throw at you, right? Because he knows that you're going to grow closer to God in this trip. So for if anybody, 1 John 3:18, and this is the Amplified Classic version. I like that version for some reason. But it says, little children, let us not love merely in theory or in speech, but in deed and in truth, in practice and in sincerity. So I really think that the Brazil trip shows you that. And it's just amazing to love on people. And I think that's the number one thing is love. If you want to experience it, go to Brazil.
Mm. Yeah. I know she's ending up, but one thing it's also kind of good is this is not our first time doing it now. You know, so, I mean, so now we're going to be so much better. So, I mean, so much more calm. And so, you know, jumping on this particular trip is actually going to be kind of cool. Because, first of all, hopefully folks had a chance to experience Randy Clark. He's awesome. He's definitely going to be there. He's not going to be there at all these other ones coming up, maybe. You know, so I would definitely take advantage of what you get out of Randy Clark. Pastor Melissa was a leader last time. Hopefully you get a chance to be a leader again. So you're going with people that have kind of been there, done that. And so it just makes the trip that much easier. You know, so and Dawn here, she's a great planner. So she can make sure that you get your passports, your visas, and your plane tickets and all that stuff. So all that stress and worry is gone. You know, and once you get there, you're not fending for yourself. All your wants and needs are taken care of. You know, and so it's a very safe and rewarding. So anyway, I just want to plug it one more time. If you have any other questions, or if you're in doubt, if you're trying to figure things out, come speak to us, and we'll definitely help give you some, really everything you need. I mean, and we stay very connected to the whole leading up to it and while we're there. We are very well connected at the hip, very safe. A lot of people get a little bit concerned about safety. Very safe. I had more problems at Miami Airport than I did anywhere in Brazil. And so, again, please think about it. Please look at it seriously. And we would love to have everyone come. And I need more men there, too. So it's nice to get some more men. So I would love to have more men join us on the trip as well.
Yeah, well, right now, but we're going to have more men.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. So yeah, that's an interest meeting. Like, even if you just a tiny bit of interest, just come to the interest meeting. So I appreciate you y'all staying. I know this is running a little bit later, but let's just go to the next slide. We launched life groups in January. We had one new person come to our Durham group, and we've had one new person in the Cary group come. And Raleigh, they were expecting someone to come, but instead the person tried to commit suicide, which is terrible, right? But I also think that just shows how much the enemy doesn't want someone to come to a life group, right? Because obviously Jeremy's in touch with them. But what I know, there's a lot of other interest in becoming a part of the group. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a school of leaders, but we're going to do it on two Saturdays. Two five-hour sessions on a Saturday, probably at our home. And I'm going to do that relatively quickly, because I know there's many of you who are interested in being a part of this that didn't go through the first. First of all, you need to understand, we weren't ever excluding anyone from this. It's just we wanted to have kind of a core group to kind of see how this worked before we invited the whole church into that. So it wasn't a matter of excluding anybody. It was just like, let's just start this out and see what this looks like first. Before, just like if you're going to test market a new product, right? You don't put it out there. You kind of test market with a small group of people, and then you put it out there. So it's the same type of thing. So, but now we're definitely willing to open it up to anybody who's interested. So I've got a sign-up sheet that Giselle's going to put out on the table after church. And if you're interested in going through the training, all you need to do, because you need to go through training to be a part of the life groups, but we will do those within the next couple of months. You can go through the training. Like I said, it'll be two Saturdays, probably like 9:30 to 3:30, I'm thinking, at our home. We'll serve some lunch. I'll make sure it doesn't coincide with a Karis day. So those two Saturdays, you could come through the training, and then we can get you, most likely what we'll do is just plug you into an existing group before we actually multiply and make more groups, I'm thinking. Now, obviously, Amanda and Jonathan Bowman, I know they're very interested in getting one started, and they're going to, I mean, how many of you want to go to Virginia one night a week? Okay, okay, well, there. So, anyway, but I'm just saying, so if you're interested, it will be two Saturdays, like I said, probably at our home, probably like 9:30 to 3:30 with lunch. to go through that class to get on board so that you can plug into it. Because we want as many of you as who want to be a part of this, we want you to be a part of this. I'd love to see the whole church doing this. Okay, so we want inviting you in. Again, so just sign up on that after church so that you can plug in and be a part of that. Okay? So groups we started. And the fact that, like, we haven't had a lot of new people yet, that's very typical, so don't get discouraged. Like, we just, if you build it, they will come. If you build it, they will come. Okay, so we're going to continue testimony time because I believe we're going to start having more and greater testimonies through our life groups and, again, and us doing outreach, so we're going to conclude that. Richie Seltzer. So I talked with him this week. He's excited about coming. He's going to come in Friday night. He's going to leave Monday mid-morning, Friday, March 14th, and leave the 17th. So everybody say, I love my pastor.
I love my pastor.
Okay. Okay. So here's the deal. This year, unless we bring in Greg Moore, like we're bringing in one guest speaker. That's one Saturday out of 52 that I'm asking you to come to church. I have to be really transparent. We've been really disappointed in us bringing guest speakers in and people from our church not showing up. We invest a lot of money in this. And we don't bring in slouch speakers. We bring in top-notch, world-renowned, world-traveling speakers into our little church. They are top-notch people. These people travel with the best of the best of the best. And I'm not trying to make anyone super-duper, but I'm just saying there's people who have tremendous anointings that God sends around the world. Okay, and these are people who either travel with them, go in their stead, represent them. They have a lot to impart to us. And so it's really disappointing when we have these events and then our church doesn't really show, a lot of our people in our church don't show up. And again, y'all are investing in this. So I'm asking you all to put March 15th aside on your calendar and come spend the day with your church family. There's going to be a morning, afternoon, and evening session. You can go out to lunch together. You can go out to dinner together. But just put the day aside and just come and be in the anointing with the guest speaker. Bring a friend. We are going to advertise this on Facebook to bring because we want to fill this room. I want this room filled to overflowing. And then March 16th for church. So please, like I said, this is one Saturday we don't have Saturday events anymore, we're now doing outreaches. That's not even a church event, but you can become a part of it if you want to. We used to have classes on Saturdays. We've made Saturdays free for everybody, okay? So one Saturday, please, March 15th and Sunday, put that weekend aside and just be with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Richie Seltzer is a powerful speaker. And when we went to Brazil, they all came up to me and said, we want him at our church. We want him. He's a powerful man of God. He's got an incredible testimony of what God has done. He did signs, wonders, and miracles. Follow him wherever he goes. He's an evangelist. He will beat evangelism into you. He is an evangelist. And Randy Clark says he's a more powerful evangelist than Todd White. Randy Clark says he's the most incredible evangelist he's ever been in association with. So again, I really ask you to set this time aside. Come to the church. Spend that weekend at church. Be in the presence of the Lord and let this man impart to us all that he has. Amen? Amen. You still love me? Okay, good. Okay, so just Kingdom Kids, they're going to continue doing character studies and they're continue to do church services with us. The youth group, as you know, now is becoming a life group. And so Gene and Victoria are going to be taking them through the life group material. And then just VOA is at the end of October. Some people have just mentioned this to me. So I am going through one final class I need to be able to be ordained through Global Awakening. And so if all goes well, I will be ordained at this VOA. And so some people have just said that they would like to come if I'm going to be ordained, that they'd like to come. So I'm just letting you know that I'm going to be ordained through Global at VOA. I was ordained through Charis Bible College, but they're really not continuing that anymore. And so, and I just felt like the Lord was like, he wanted me to be ordained through here. So that's what I'm going, I mean, I'm still ordained, but I'm just saying that. Like, I just really feel like the Lord wanted me to connect with this. So if any of you would like to come, it's going to be back in Lancaster where we were last year. And so we're still believing for a building, family. We're still believing for a family, a building. So just keep that in prayer. And then just the last, just, you know, remembering this is the org chart. Who's going to make all this happen? All of you, all of you with these awesome leadership teams. So just, you know, Gene. So, I mean, we used to divide it up like Pastor Melissa did this and Pastor Randy did this, but now I just put that. So just some changes. So, of course, Spencer and Jean have taken over men's ministry and since Pastor Randy passed. Jeremy has taken over as the AV leader because Amy's pregnant and she's having a baby in April, so that's not going to work. So he's been gracious to take over AV. Giselle continues the prayer ministry leader and church service. She's in charge of volunteers on Sundays. And then Spencer and Morgan. So it's been our usual people here who are faithful, faithful. I just want to honor all of them. I could not do this without every single one of them. They are amazing leaders. They are dedicated leaders. Even this morning when I sent the text out saying we're not going to have the foundations class at 9 a.m. because we were having issues with the truck, immediately I got, and so Spencer and Morgan aren't coming to church today because she's about to pop, okay? But immediately, that text went out, immediately I got a text from Morgan saying, do you want me to send Spencer to help you? I mean, like, it wasn't even, a full minute didn't go by before she was, of course, I later found out he was in bed, so. that was one of those things that Randy used to say to me. I'd say, oh, we can take care of that, and he'd be like, because my we meant him. So. Anyway, so I just really want to honor these people. They're wonderful leaders. They're dedicated to the Lord. They're dedicated to the church. They're dedicated to me. And I'm just really grateful for every single one of them. They're just amazing people. So yeah, so we just end with what? What's our vision? Okay, first of all, there's no church service on Sunday, March 9th. I'm going to put this up every single Sunday until March 9th, but somebody will still show up, I know. But there's no church service on Sunday, March 9th, okay? But there's a baby shower in the afternoon. So come to the baby shower. We can fellowship there. Yes. Yes, men or women are welcome to the baby shower, okay? Because men and women create babies. So you're all welcome. And then just remember, this year, right, what are we doing? Just this year, every year, that the world may know that God sent Jesus Christ, his son. And again, I mean, when Richie Seltzer, when I told him, because he's friends with Paul Martini in New Mexico, who's doing this thing, when I told him that we were doing life groups, he said to me that the Lord spoke to him like several years ago about what we're doing and saying that if church, like this is the direction of the church and that the churches have got to get this type of thing in place for what God is going to be doing. And it really is interesting to me because a couple of years we read a book by Lana Vosser for our leadership, and she said that the Lord was showing her that something was going to change. The way they were going to do church was changing, and if people didn't stay on board with the Lord, they were going to be left behind. And Richie was like, this is the direction. Like, the Lord showed him this many years ago. And so he was very excited that we're doing the life groups. And so, I mean, every place I go, I just keep getting confirmation after confirmation that this is what we're to be doing. And again, don't despise small beginnings, right? Don't despise small beginnings. There's a momentum that will come. We just be faithful. We just be faithful. And any of you who want to be a part of this, please, we welcome you. We'd love you to be a part of it. And just sign up at the welcome table, and we'll go ahead and I'll be in touch with you about when the training's going to be so we can get you plugged in and get us all moving forward. Amen? Amen. Anybody have any questions about what I've shared? Everybody good? We're back to Philippians next week, so I'm excited. Okay, let me just pray. So Lord, we're just so grateful for, I'm just so grateful for every single one of the people here, Lord. I thank you for their faithfulness. These people, so many people have been here for so many years or maybe even new, but just so faithful to this church, faithful to the calling that we have, Lord. I'm so grateful that you've looked at us with this new model of life groups and said, this is a church I can entrust this with. This is a church that will steward this well. This is a church that will disciple people. And Lord, that we want to be that church that reaches out to people in the world, Lord, and raises them up and brings them to Christ and raises them up in the things of Christ. So we're just so grateful, Lord, that you've entrusted us with this. I just feel like it's such an honor for, and I just feel it's such a testimony to your trust of the people in this church. I know so many pastors who have said to me, oh, my church people couldn't do that. I know this church is capable of this, Lord. I know you've brought these people here for such a time as this. I know that they're equipped and will grow in equipping to be able to reach the lost and raise them up as disciples. You've called us, Lord, to disciple people. And Lord, I thank you that we're all equipped to be able to do that. And so, Lord, I just thank you for every member of this church, every person who just regularly attends. I'm just so grateful. And I pray blessings over them, Lord. We commit this year to you. And we say, Lord, have your way in our church and in the homes, Lord, that we may reach the lost in the communities you've planted us in for your glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We